Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
And a very good morning to you, Simon Harrison, in the chair at 25 to 11. Mark Duclos, good morning.
Good morning to you, Simon. Good morning, listeners. Welcome along to Going Greyhounds this third day of October. Of course, it's been a massive weekend in sport. We've had the fairy tales continue, Simon, is probably the best way to put it, with the Sharkies winning last night. And I know there's a lot of Greyhound supporters that follow the Sharkies, particularly Mark Moroney.
Yeah.
And he's been following them since he and I were young kids in Hornsby Heights. And I know that Yogi would be very, very happy this morning. And well done to all those people out in the Shire. I don't know when the celebrations are going to finish.
No.
It's going to be big. And obviously down in Victoria, the Western Bulldogs winning there. And it has been a year of fairy tales, not just in AFL and NRL, but in greyhound racing as well, where it's been the year of the underdog, the year where a number of trainers, I think we've had 20 Group 1 events run and won this year, and 12 of them have been won by greyhound trainers who had never, ever prepared a Group 1 winner before. So it is the year of the fairy tale, 2016. Today on Going Greyhounds, we will speak with Kel Greeno, who's got weekend binge in the Group 1 Adelaide Cup final on Friday night. Likewise with Brett Bravo, who's got Ben Teke. Dean Swain will join us. He'll talk about Miss Foxy Lee, who goes around in the Group 3 Sydney Cup on Saturday evening. And Jason Magri joins us later in the program to talk about his chances in the semi-final of the Group 3 Nowra Puppy Classic, and those semis will be run later this afternoon. But first off, let's talk about Baird's greyhound ban. And last Thursday, The Australian reported that Premier Mike Baird has suffered a record fall in satisfaction ratings as a majority of voters judged that the New South Wales greyhound racing ban was unfair. Now, the poll identifies deep disenchantment with the greyhound ban in country areas, and obviously this puts enormous pressure on Troy Grant, the Deputy Premier, the Racing Minister and the leader of the Nationals. After ranking as the most popular political leader in the country in December, Mike Baird's approval ratings have collapsed into negative territory. Not only that, the Coalition's election-winning two-party preferred lead of 56 to 44 has shrunk to 51 to 49. And since last December, Mike Baird's net satisfaction rating has fallen from a positive 39 to a negative 7. The biggest fall of any mainland state premier in the history of News Poll, which is the Bible when it comes to polls. So, you know, the coalition government can bang on that they are making the right decision. Obviously, their constituents don't think that's right. And it's not just the greyhound ban. It's the paramedics. It's the late night lockout laws. It's the council amalgamations. And, of course, when you make a decision like that, and as I've said in the past, that, you know, governments are put in place, we don't expect them to always make popular decisions, but we expect them to make the right decisions. It's proof. And the Orange by-election, which comes up on November the 12th, that will be even more proof, because the Nationals are in for a hiding. And Phil Donato is standing for the Fishers and Shooters and Farmers Party as well. He's garnering great support out there, as is a number of independents as well, and the Labor Party. And Luke Foley is very bullish about the result of the Orange by-election, whether or not it goes to Labor or whether or not it goes to an independent. But all the polls report that that 22% margin that the Nationals currently have in Orange will dissipate. And with that will come enormous pressure on the New South Wales National Party to look at their leader and to look at getting this ban reversed by Mike Baird. And of course, the Animal Justice Party, the lunatics, they are absolute lunatics. And I have to say this because I spoke with Ray Hadley last week. The Animal Justice Party issued a press release, all gung-ho. Wow, we've got Ray Hadley, 2GB broadcaster, who's been banging on about the greyhound ban in support of the greyhound ban. We've got Ray Hadley. Have a look at this. Ray Hadley owns greyhounds. He's got a vested interest in the sport. Shows you the lack of research and stupidity of some of these people. The press release that they were talking about was issued on the 9th of April 2009, 7.5 years ago, about a greyhound Ray owned called Locatelli, which was going around in the Magic Maiden. Now, the Animal Justice Party, again, they've targeted Ray Hadley. They've targeted Alan Jones, two great broadcasters who have done so much for the greyhound industry since this ban was announced. And they came out and said, we've got Ray Hadley, look at this. But again, it's just simple research. Something that has been lacking right throughout this whole process of the Special Commission of Inquiry report. Ray Hadley doesn't own greyhounds. Ray Hadley declared his interest straight up. As soon as this greyhound ban was announced, Ray Hadley said, I declare an interest. I kicked off my broadcasting career calling greyhounds up the straight at Appin. Now, obviously, with his support of the greyhound industry, he is the target for people such as the Animal Justice Party. We won't go into their beliefs because they're just so ridiculous, it's not funny. But here's a tip to the great psychologist, Eleonora Gallone. Do your research. If you want to target people and you want to bang on about what their vested interests are, do your research first. I know that she gave a half-baked apology to Ray, and Ray is not one to go down the pathway of defamation and all that sort of stuff. But he was absolutely filthy last week, and so he should have been.
And I get the feeling, Mark, that there's just a glimmer of hope that it could be overturned.
Look, Simon, you can the press reports may be one thing. What's actually happening in Macquarie Street may be another. Until I see it in black and white, until it goes back to Parliament and the legislation that they proclaimed is overturned, I won't believe it. And I continue to say this, and I would never tell anyone how to vote. But I'll say this, if you are a constituent in the Orange by-election, if you vote for the Nationals, you are voting to ban greyhound racing. That's all I'll say. So, again, you look at the people like the Animal Justice Party who want to target Alan Jones, who want to target Ray Hadley, who want to target Sky Racing, who want to target Sky Sports Radio. Do your research, get your facts right, but do everyone a favour. Just disappear.
Well said.
We're going to talk greyhound racing, and last Thursday night at Angle Park, it was a dirty, filthy night. It had rained for, you know, nearly 48 hours. There were lights on, there were lights off, but the racing on the track was red hot. And Kel Greeno prepares Weekend Binge. He's drawn box four in the Group 1 Adelaide Cup final on Friday night. Good morning to you, Kel.
Good morning, Mark.
We spoke to you a few weeks ago before the Group 3 SA Derby, which Weekend Binge ended up winning. And we spoke about the dog's brilliant speed and the battle for you to get him to run out a strong 5.15, 5.20. His brilliant pace, it's there for everyone to see. And I guess now the trick for you as a trainer is to try to get him a little bit stronger at the finish. But he's certainly going to put himself in this final on Friday night.
Yeah, look, hopefully, Mark, he leads and that gives him every chance, but there's obviously very strong dogs in the race, and if any dog sits on him, they've got every chance to run him down. So that's the key to the dog, is to probably break them up a bit early and hopefully hang on.
Kel, again, we look at last Thursday night, and that early pace, he led three or four at the first mark so easily. The box draw on Friday night doesn't appear to be that bad for him. He doesn't have brilliant beginners drawn around him, and he's you know, first section mark last week was probably two lengths quicker than anything else. Do you see box four as a concern?
Look, I don't. I think the dog can overcome that. He just generally just needs his first couple of strides in, and once he's clear, he can take off. But last week was unbelievable. They were running into almost a hurricane twice, so the first section to run, I think he ran 4.34 last week.
Yeah, he did.
You know, into a hurricane, I just thought was probably his best first section that he ran, because normally the track's not, you know, the wind is certainly not in that situation. So pretty happy with that first section. Got a bit tired in the run home, as you'd expect. It was like a pretty tough 5.15 last week.
But got the job done. Yeah, I was going to say, how's he pulled up after that run? Because it was a heavy track and it does take a lot out of some of these dogs.
Yeah, look, he was a little bit more jaded than normal, and understandably so, but look, he seems okay. I guess, yeah, an extra day probably helps, being a Friday night, so we've got 8 days. And look, I've been to Adelaide, it'll be five of the last 6 weeks, and the dog's been with me, so it's been a tough campaign for him, but he travels really well, and he probably need to in that situation.
He's owned by Narelle Main and Alan Lang, and of course he kicked off his career at Warhope, a grass track on the mid-north coast in New South Wales. He took out the Butch Monkley Memorial Maiden on Boxing Day last year, and he then set a track record at Casino running 27.14. He was then sent down to you, and I guess, Kel, the big question is, you trained his half-brother, Paul Licking, who we know is one of the super sprinters in the last 10 years or so. What comparisons can you draw between Paul Licking and Weekend Binge?
Very similar comparisons. Obviously, Paul Licking's got the score on the board and this dog's got to get there, but very similar sectionals, same type of, you know, everything that they do, even their habits at home are very, very similar. They've got that little bit of stummer data going back into the kennel and things like that, but the resemblance is really uncanny. They are very, very similar, but this dog has got a long way to go to catch Paul Licking, but hopefully once he starts racing group races, obviously everything changes and you just need to get those on the board.
And that's the query, isn't it? You know, age-restricted races, and I thought his win in the Group 3 South Australian Derby was terrific. He and Ultimate Magic knocked each other senseless, basically, for, 450 metres, and then Weekend Binge got the rails run in the home straight, and he roared away. But that step up to open class company and Group 1 chasers, that is the big test for these young dogs.
Always, Mark, and I try and keep away from open company with good young dogs as long as I can for that reason, because, you know, they just race a bit fiercer and faster and you want to protect them as much as you can. But I guess now it's time to stand up and see what he can do.
Well, he's drawn box 4 on Friday evening for the Group 1 Adelaide Cup final. He's currently $3.60 fixed odds with tab.com.au. Kel, post Adelaide Cup, and look, I imagine if he wins the Adelaide Cup, he's going to, I know he didn't get an invitation to the Top Gun, but there's always that chance that you get a late invite when you win a race like the Group 1 Adelaide Cup. If he doesn't go to the Top Gun, what are your plans with him post the Adelaide Cup?
Oh, look, I think immediately we'd be looking at the Geelong Cup, and that leads into the Melbourne Cup, so that'd be probably the next two targets that we're looking for.
Okay. Best of luck with Weekend Binge on Friday night, mate. I know, as I say, a lot of people, particularly those up in the Northern Rivers, they'll be cheering for him. He has got a stack of early pace. Let's hope that's going to carry him to victory.
Yeah, thanks again, Mark. Thanks very much.
Kel Greeno there, and we go from Kel Greeno to another Victorian trainer. He's not in Victoria at the moment. He's actually at the Big Coonamble Carnival in Western New South Wales. Brett Bravo joins us. Morning, Brav.
Yeah, morning, Drew. How you going, mate?
Good. Let's talk about Coonamble first. Your first experience, and I saw a post the other night on Facebook which said Coonamble 1, Brett Bravo 0.
Yeah, it's been like that all week. I'd be happy to get home.
It's an arduous campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, I just came up for the experience to talk to some of the locals and stuff, and it's been a bit of fun.
Yeah, it certainly is, mate. And we'll talk about the Coonamble Carnival a little bit later. Let's talk about Benteke, who's drawn box number 8. In the Adelaide Cup final on Friday evening. We're just talking to Kel Greeno, and I guess the difference between Weekend Binge and Benteke, the greyhound that you now prepare, is that early pace.
Yeah, it's probably three lengths to the mark, I'd imagine. Weekend Binge is taking Adelaide well, and he's flying his first section. And as I say, Benteke's, you know, his last section is probably his best section, to be honest.
Well, his last section on last Thursday night, Brav, he ran home in 12.78. I don't think Dyna Boomer ran home in 12.68, which was the fastest, but Benteke, just a length and a half slower in that back end. He's drawn box 8 on Friday evening. That makes the assignment even tougher.
Yeah, for sure, especially we've only had him for a short while, but I've watched a few tapes. He, you know, tends to like the fence, and he's not possessed with great early speed. Drawing the pink in a Group 1 race, it's certainly going to be hard to cross. There's some speed there and local knowledge. And yeah, it's a big task, but he's a young dog that this will be his second group final, and he's only had a few starts. So it's all good steps for the future for the dog.
Well, he is only a baby. He's only had the 14 starts for 7 wins. As you said, he made the Group 1 National Sprint Final, which was run at Angle Park. So he has trial there in 29.49. He's currently $8.50 with tab.com.au. He's by Collision out of Pearl Napoleon, and we know that Collision just puts so much chase into his pups. But the damn Pearl Napoleon, you've had a lot of success with the offspring of that, particularly with a greyhound like Ride the Rails.
Yeah, Ride the Rails was a super dog. He could run time anywhere. He's a good dog and race for, a lengthy career, and when we got him, he'd had a broken hock, and he still came out and made group finals. He was a serious dog, and as I say, this Benteke, he's a pretty serious dog. As I say, he's only downfalls his first split, but who knows in the future? I mean, when he trialled there a couple of weeks ago, I think his running time was a couple of lengths quicker than Anthony's dog,
Zambora Brocky.
Yeah, and I mean, the other night he had he had to go around the outside of the Red Dog up the back, and when he went around, the weather was atrocious. So we were really, really happy with his run, but certainly it's a big task from the pink over there when you don't have a lot of speed.
Well, he just needs a bit of luck in the early stages, bro, and I know that he'll put himself right in the race. Best of luck with Benteke. Best of luck getting home from Canamble, mate.
I'll be home from in a few hours.
Good on you, mate. Guys. Brett Bravo there, who's got Benteke in the Group 1 Adelaide Cup final on Friday night. And as I said, he's been at Canamble all weekend, and it is an arduous campaign up there, let me tell you. Another man who I think was there on Saturday, Dean Swain, joins us on Going Greyhounds. Morning, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, Duke. How you going, mate?
Good, thank you. Were you at Canamble on Saturday? I know you had a winner up there.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a winner. I had a starter up there. But, yeah, look, I've only just arrived home, actually. And I tell you what, I won't be drinking anything alcoholic for the next year. and I certainly had a few with Brett.
They tell me the crowds were terrific, mate.
It was fantastic, you know. It was, look, I would like to stay a little bit longer, like for today at least, but I had to get back and I didn't want to leave everything on Danielle here at home. And but it was a real, real good crowd. It was a fantastic atmosphere. And look, I haven't been for 15 years. I went back in 2001 when I had, you know, my real good bitch on a pose, and she won the race. And been wanting to go back there, and it's the first time. But look, I just went back there virtually to, you know, to catch up and have a chat with everyone and really enjoy myself. And I've certainly done that, and I'll have a good sleep tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, but, tell us about the mood of the people out there, Dino, because we know this Greyhound band, and we know the impact that it's had or is having, not just on the trainers like yourself who train out in the Richmond area, basically in the Sydney metro area, but we know the impact that it's having on people in the country and regional areas. And what was the mood from those people at Canamble?
Yeah, well, look, I think they're, you know, a lot more upbeat now, I'd say, you know, and look, obviously everyone's still genuinely concerned, you know, but... the attitude certainly changed, you know, and I think with, you know, the public support, you know, behind us, I think definitely that you know, we're feeling a lot more hopeful, that's for sure. But, look, you just can't think that, you know, this imbecile could get away with it, to tell you the truth, and I don't think he will. And, you know, I'm getting good mail that we're going to be fine, and so I hope that's true. And, you know, look, I don't want to have to move or anything like that. I love where I'm at, and I just think that, you know, the way we've all stuck together and being so strong, you know, as a community, I think that, you know, we're going to pull through it. Really do.
Well, your dad, City, trained a Golden Easter Egg winner amongst a stack of other feature race winners. You're a former roof tiler. You turn your hand to professional training probably in the last 18 months. The Swain train has been on a roll in recent times.
Yes.
tell us, for you and the family, for your wife Danielle and the kids and that, you don't want to uproot and have to move interstate to continue your profession.
No, it'd be terrible to have to do it, really. I mean, not only that, look, I've grown up here and, you know what I mean, and I just, you know, couldn't think, you know, of having to do it. But I most probably would, you know, only because I love training dogs so much. But I think if it was on the cards, well, you know, we would have to make a lot of changes, you know. I think the kids would adapt, or I think Danielle would be the hardest one that wouldn't, you know. But I'm just trying not to think about that. Honestly, I'm pretty confident, you know, and as can be. And, you know, I mean, if I remain confident and keep focused on what I'm doing, you know, I think, you know, that we won't get to that situation, you know. But it'd be a huge call, you know, to just uproot and go interstate and a whole different, you know, system, so to speak, the way it is, you know. I like the New South Wales people and I like the way we are here. It's very different in Melbourne, you know. The New South Wales people are, I know, a little bit more relaxed, I'd say. And really enjoy ground racing in the understand down in Melbourne, but they're certainly different to the way we operate. But if that was the case, I'd have to do it. But look, Mark, you know, please, I'd hate to hear the truth.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway.
Well, listen, while you're out enjoying yourself at Canamble, your good wife Danielle was looking after the team on Saturday night. Miss Foxy Lee led throughout from box number one in a heat of the Sydney Cup, running 42. And 47. She's really taken to the 720s in the last couple. You headed down to the Meadows Saturday week ago. She was too good down there in a handicap race, beating Wynn Whistler. And then she came out on Saturday night, and you must have been impressed with that win.
Oh, definitely. Look, you know, she's a mighty bitch. You know, what people are going to understand is that she's done it everywhere. She's an incredible sprinter. You know, I mean, twice she ran 29.6 at Wentworth Park, and amongst other, you know, fantastic wins. And progressed through to the middle distance, and virtually she's unbeaten, you know, and wins the Canberra-Toledo Trailers race and smashes the track record Smithereens, and then to progress, and they go through to 700s and win in two states now. And she was something beaten in the Top Cat Cup at the Meadows, you know, the week before that handicap race. And, you know, she was really a tragedy not to be in that final. And, you know, to go back there and, you know, it was a real tough, gritty win in the handicap, you know, and she was under pressure quite a, you know, way out, and she kept going, and she really, you know, turned into a, you know, real dour type of stayer. And the thing is that, you know, she's got pace as well. And, you know, she's been terribly boxed, you know, for a long time now, you know, and she certainly used the one well, but she's learned to adapt to win, you know, from pretty much any box, you know, to tell the truth, Duke.
She moves to box eight on Saturday night in the final. A tough task, but as you said, she's got that early speed to be able to offset that.
Yeah, definitely. Look, the seven, I've backed the seven before. I know the seven's ability, and I think they'll really help her in the race. You know, it's got good pace, and I think it does go straight, but, you know, it's got the pace to burn across, and I think she'll follow it across, you know, and sometimes, you know, when you can camp in behind a front runner, obviously, you know, it's pretty good, and she's done that before. She's done it at the Meadows, and if you can get in behind that and you know, get a breather and take over down the back, you know, they won't beat her if she can go to the lead down the back, because she's just too tough, you know, and absolutely proud of, you know, what she's been doing. Really shocked, to tell the truth, that she didn't get a mention or even in the selection in the new Super Stayers race coming up.
The Top Gun Stayers?
The Top Gun Stayers, whatever. Look, there was quite a few dogs.
That could change if she wins on Saturday night, mate.
I know it could change, but I honestly can't believe that some of the dogs that are in it, you know, don't even have half the credentials that this girl's got. And for her not to be acknowledged, that's actually a bit of a kick in the guts, mate. Hopefully it changes. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the national distance stayer winner sat right on the hammer last night, Saturday night, and he couldn't do anything about it. She was just way too good for him, you know. And they've got to look at that type of stuff, you know. At the end of the day, you know, I know certain dogs have reputations and can go under the radar. And this little girl, she's done it everywhere, really, you know. So, yeah.
Well, let's hope she can win on Saturday evening, mate. Let's hope she can race away into that Top Gun Stayers. Best of luck with Miss Foxy Lee. She's drawn box number 8 in the Group 3 Sydney Cup final at Wentworth Park, mate, and enjoy your recovery.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mark. We'll talk soon. We'll catch up.
Dean Swain there, who has got Miss Foxy Lee in the Group 3 Sydney Cup final on Saturday evening at Wentworth Park. This afternoon at Nowra, or this evening at Nowra, we've got 3 semi-finals of the Group 3 Nowra Puppy Classic, and a man who's got a very strong hand in that in those races is Jason Magri, who joins us on Going Greyhounds. Good morning, Jase.
Yeah, how you going, Mark?
Good, mate. Let's talk about Dusty Gambler first. He's drawn box 8 in race number 3, but he went half a length outside the track record last week at Nowra. He had the one box. He moves to box 8 tonight. Were you surprised at the time he ran?
Not really. The dog's always going on.
Okay, he's by collision out of Dusty Retreat. He's not the only one of that litter that you've got. And when you look at, you look at the time of 29.57, you'd think off box number 8, Jase, that he's going to be up. He didn't show brilliant early pace last week, but his run home from the top turn onwards was outstanding.
Yeah, it was. He's very powerful at the end. His last 150 part of his races and his trials, so a bit of luck today. If you can step with him and posse up nice and handy through the first corner and put a couple off him, I think he could be too strong for that.
Okay, you've got a couple in the second semi-final, including Magic Gambler. And Magic Gambler came out last week and ran 29.71 from box number 1. You've also got Master Gambler in that race. Which are the best of the two in race 5, mate?
Master Gambler's got a lot of potential. He's had two starts for him, and they've been both below par runs from what he tries. But it wouldn't surprise me if he stepped and ran the hands off the clock. He has got ability. Magic Gambler, the bitch, she keeps improving. She showed last week what she can do. So either of them would win, I hope.
Okay, and then in race number 7, you've got Shy Gambler off box number one, and she ran 30.04, but I would think you'd think there's a bit of improvement in her.
I think there would be a bit of improvement. She just had a bit of a bad preparation leading up to the classic. Just couldn't get the work I wanted into it. So for another one or two more 500s, then I expect her to get down about 29.7, 29.8.
Okay. Who's the best of your team there in the semi-finals today, Jase?
Well, Shai Campbell's got the draw. She's off the red, so probably her. The other ones need a lot of luck, I reckon, to win the races, but I hope they can qualify for them.
All right. Good luck this afternoon, Jase.
No worries. Thanks, Mark.
Jason Magri there, and as I said, he's got a very strong hand. Dusty Gambler in race 3, box 8, who, as I said, went half a length outside the track record last week. In race 5, he's got boxes 4 and 5 with Master Gambler and Magic Gambler, and then Shy Gambler, race 7, number 1. And expect that greyhound to improve off that time of 30.04. Coonamble Carnival, it wraps up this afternoon. The morning program is underway already. The afternoon program, which kicks off around 20 past 2, sees a lot of the feature events being run, including the big maiden final there. New South Wales opposition leader Luke Foley is en route to Coonamble this afternoon, and he'll be addressing what it will be a massive crowd there this afternoon. The Top Gun invitations, as I said, they have been sent out, and that field will be decided next Sunday afternoon by a panel in Melbourne. And on Wednesday night, Simon, we're kicking off a new Greyhound preview program on Sky Racing 2 at 6 p.m. It's called At the Boxes. I'll be joined by Group 1 winning trainer Jamie Ennis, who's one of the best form analysts in the business. Dave Stanley from Tab Fixed Odds will be along. Timmy Newbold. We're going to preview all the feature races from Thursday night through to Sunday or Monday with speed maps, with race replays, with tips, with market movers, all that. So At the Boxes kicks off this Wednesday night on Sky Racing 2 at 6 p.m. Promises to be a big weekend. Obviously, the feature will be the Group 1 Adelaide Cup, and I'll be live trackside on Sky Racing 1 next Friday night.
Good on you, Duke. Enjoy your afternoon.
Thank you, Simon.